This next song is a relatively new tune for us, although it's a very old song. It's called Angeline the Baker. Our next song also has a vocal in it. It's called Rocky Top.
And then there was the story of the bear and the turtle, or the bear and the rabbit. Thanks, sir. Okay, you can help us out by clapping now.
Two, three.
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Wish I was up on a rocky top up in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on a rocky top, there ain't no telephone bill. Once had a girl up on a rocky top, half bear, other half cat. Wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop, I still dream about that. Everybody now, rocky top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee, yeah. Once two strangers climbed up on Rocky Top looking for a moonshine still. Strangers ain't come down from a rocky top, I reckon they never will. Corn don't grow up on a rocky top, dirt's too rocky by far. That's why all the folks from a rocky top get their corn from a jar. Rocky top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee. All right. I've had years of pent-up city life. I'm trapped like a duck in a pen. All's I can tell that it's a pity life. I ain't going back there again. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Aren't they great?
Next song is a medley of three songs, actually all of them Irish. The first one that we're going to play is called Swallowtail. The next one is called Kesh. The third one is called Here's to the Ladies, and then we wrap up with a really fast version of Swallowtail at the end.
Thank you.
And now for our grand finale, we have the Orange Blossom Special. To hear more, we do perform one more time at 1225 over at the amphitheater. It's a great day. Enjoy your day out here. We hope everyone's having a good time at the festival. Thank you very much, Young Folk Fiddlers.
Hey, boys and girls, can you hear me? If you can hear me, applaud and cheer and yay. They can only hear me? Okay, we need more applause and cheering if you can hear me. That's better. Okay, now, boys and girls, we're very lucky to have Eileen Brotman. Eileen Brotman came from North Miami Beach, and I have a card here that tells me about her. She moved to Florida from New York in 1971. How many of you were alive in 1971? Okay, she got her BA in early childhood education at SUNY in Cortland, New York. But right now, can you tell us what you're going to do for us?
Absolutely.
I'm going to, let's have a hand for Eileen.
Thank you. Boys and girls, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my tradition. I'm a Jewish person, and in our tradition, When a bride and groom get married, the groom writes a contract and gives it to his bride that tells how he promises to take care of her for the rest of her life. This contract is called a ketubah. It started way back in the time of the Bible. In the book of Tobit, there is an explanation about an exchange of a dowry and other information that tells how that husband is going to take care of his wife. And since that time, since the days of the Bible, the ketubah has been used by Jewish people. In the past number of years, there has been a revival in decorating a ketubah. And the thing that I use for decoration or illumination to light it up is the paper cut. And I would like to share both how I do the writing in the ancient language of Hebrew and the paper cutting that I do with you today. How many of you can hear me? Oh, good. I'm always happy when I know that there are people looking and listening. Great. Behind me, right over here on the easel, is a ketubah that I made for my oldest son. He's now married 8 years, so this one is my oldest, but it's only 8 years old. The entire text is written in Hebrew. And when you do writing and make it very beautiful, it's called calligraphy. You can do calligraphy in any language. You certainly can learn how to do it in English. I do English calligraphy, but I also love the beauty of the ancient language that the Bible was written in, the language of Hebrew. When you write Hebrew, it is a completely different alphabet, and I brought a copy of that alphabet along so that you can see it. Let me show you. I think the best thing I can do is just hold it. Each of the letters is different than the English letters, and they are also written differently. For instance, in English, we write from left to right. In Hebrew, we write from right to left. And so this is the A, Aleph, and the B, Bet. Gimel is next. That's a G sound. And the last one in the top row is a dalet or a D sound. I brought the clip. Yeah, I know. I flip this down. And that'll help. Thank you. Of course, you can see that I didn't just write these as if I was writing a story. But each letter has been made as beautiful as it could be made, and that is the art of calligraphy. I combined the art of calligraphy with the art of paper cutting. Paper cutting is done all over the world, but my family came from the middle of Europe, and so I use the German or Polish tradition in paper cutting for decoration. Let's put that down. I'll demonstrate that later. I took this very plain black paper because I think you could see through it very nicely. And I left space for the writing right in the middle. And when I folded the paper in half, I knew that everything that I did on it was going to come out exactly the same on each side. This is a fun thing to do if you would like to try to make a stained glass window. The technique is exactly the same. First, you have to make a design, a plan, because you have to know exactly what is going to stay in the dark frame and what is going to be cut out, the negative spaces. You can see that I've sketched that out. And then when you cut out your negative spaces and open it up, everything is exactly the same on one side as the other. And if you're making a stained glass window, you put colorful tissue paper behind it. This This technique, as I said, comes from the middle of Europe, from Germany and Poland. And so that it was natural for me to use that technique because my ancestors came from the middle of Europe. However, when I got married, which was a long time ago, I never even heard of a ketubah. I had one, but I didn't even know that it existed. The person who married my husband and me, the rabbi, handed it to us. It was filled out with the day that we got married and our names, and it was witnessed, did not have to be signed, but it was, had to be witnessed, and I put it in the vault with all my other precious possessions. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago when I found out that the art of making a ketubah beautiful was being revived in our country. And so I became very interested in it. I said that if it belongs to my tradition, it's very important for me to keep it alive. And I promised myself that when my eldest son got married, he and his bride would have a ketubah handwritten by me and decorated just for them. And so when Michael and Wendy decided to get married, I asked them what they would like on their ketubah. I knew the words would go according to the ancient formula, but I did not know what they would like in decorations. And so I asked them, and they asked for certain things. One thing I put was their names in Hebrew, and they are in the ovals on the sides. Can you hear me without that?
No.
On the left-hand side is my son's name in Hebrew. His English name is Michael. His Hebrew name is Moshe. Moshe means Moses. I think you've heard about him. He's in the Old Testament. On the other side is Wendy's Hebrew name, which is Ma'ira. And she is another character from the ancient text from the Bible. Jewish people read what we call the five books of Moses. Christian people call it the Old Testament. How many of you have read the Old Testament? Very good. Maybe you know about Moses or Joshua or Adam. They're all in the Old Testament, and we share that. We all read the same thing. If it interests you, I'll do some writing in Hebrew at this time, but I really would like some questions. Perhaps you'd like to know some things that I haven't spoken about. So if you have a question, raise your hand at any time or call it out. That's a good question. It usually takes me close to 100 hours to make one, because when I started, the paper was absolutely blank, and the only thing that I knew about were the words that were going to go on it. And once I practiced writing the words, and then put them onto the paper, and then planned the decoration, and then did the decoration, and then colored it, and with the cutting out also. It took a lot of hours, but it was a labor of love. Now my children will be able to follow in our tradition because they have a beautiful ketubah. Yes. It was about 15 years ago when I had already learned how to do English calligraphy, that I became aware of the fact that I could do Hebrew calligraphy. I didn't even know it existed. And so that's when I started learning about it. And when I learned about a ketubah as being a beautiful religious object, I started putting other things that I had learned about together with it. I always enjoyed paper cutting. Yes. In the tradition of, in the Jewish tradition, the things that we use to decorate objects are very traditional symbols, symbolic things. It is written in the Ten Commandments that one does not make a picture of people. And many people in our faith follow that. Actually, it says that you shall not take the image of God in vain. And It says in the Bible that people are made in the image of God. Got another question. Good. And so I don't use people. Yes, and I'm glad you asked that. Let's see what we have here. At the top is a crown. On the day that they are married, the bride and the groom are considered royalty. And so the crown stands for the bride and the groom. In lots of weddings, we have bridesmaids and groomsmen, right? So we think of most brides and grooms as being royal on the day of their wedding. Let's see what else is there. The birds are a very personal symbol. Do you see those peacocks? I'm a bird lover, so all my artwork has birds in it. There's nothing that says I must use one thing or another, so the decoration is completely up to the artist. The lions are the lions of Judah. In the ancient times, there were two countries that formed the land of Israel. One was Israel and the other was Judea. And Judea was symbolized by lions. And those are the lions of Judah. Then there's a hand signal. Do you see the hand signal? Have you ever seen it before? You've never seen it before? If you get a chance to see some old Star Trek films. Anybody here ever watch Star Trek? And you never saw that symbol before? I'm amazed. Okay. It goes way back before Star Trek, way back to the ancient temple in the land of Israel. And the priests held their hands in that fashion when they blessed the people. So that's a blessing for the bride and groom. Did you find the Ten Commandments down at the bottom? The tablets of the law. We know about the Ten Commandments. And there are Sabbath candles. The most important day in the Jewish faith is the Sabbath, and it comes every single week. And candles are lit to separate the Sabbath from the rest of the week. That young lady has very good questions. I'd be interested in questions from anyone. Shall I write some Hebrew for you?
Sure. No problem. I've been signing off on it all morning. And who are you, Mr. Helpful?
Okay, the word I'm going to write in Hebrew is the most beautiful word in the entire world. The word is shalom, and it means peace. And you can't wish anybody anything more beautiful than peace. Okay, who can tell me what looked different about that and the way that we usually write? Yes. Okay, I did it from right to left instead because Hebrew is written in the opposite direction. Somebody called it backwards. It's not backwards. The Bible was written in Hebrew. It was done this way first. Anything else? Okay, it isn't in English letters. The letters are a different alphabet. And that's very true. I could write shalom in English with English letters, but I choose not to. Any other observations? Yes. Okay, he noticed that some of the letters look like they are combinations of other letters, and that is very true. In the Hebrew language, there are just a few letters, and they get combined to make other letters. The whole alphabet is made up of very similar strokes,
But you know what, young man? The English language is that way, too. The